ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God has spoken about prophecy, giving us things that will happen down the road hundreds and hundreds of years with accuracy. Everything He said has come to pass, and there's still things coming. You see, I can trust God's word because He hasn't lied. Everything He said is coming to pass. We have to, in a loving way, confront the evil in this world. But we get tired. Oh, you're just judgmental. You're hateful. You're intolerant. You know, you could put whatever you want in there. And Christians get tired. Well, I don't want to be like that. And the big one that people will throw at you who don't even believe in Jesus, well, that's not what Jesus would do. Well, let me ask you, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus you're talking about that wouldn't confront sin? The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he didn't ignore her sin. He forgave it. He didn't ignore it. What did he say to her? Go and continue on in adultery? No, he said, go and sin no more. Do you see, he didn't condone her sin. We don't condone a person's sin. We love them like Jesus did. The religious leaders were self-righteous when they were committing the same sins that they were accusing this woman of. And they all left when their sin was exposed. They didn't repent. They didn't get right with God. But here was this woman who did. And he forgave her and said, go and sin no more. Wow. And I think, you know, it's not just for pastors, guys. We as believers, as the Church of the Living God, are to proclaim the truths of God found in the Word of God. So we're not just the pillars, the proclaimers, but we're also the ground or the foundation of the truth. That word in the Greek suggests a bulwark, and the dictionary says of this word that it's a solid wall-like structure raised for defense. In other words, we as Christians are not only to proclaim the word of God, but we are also defended against the attacks of the enemy. Or as Jude said, earnestly defending the faith. Contend for it. That is not an easy thing when the world is against you. Warren Wiersbe said, as a bulwark, the church protects the truth and makes sure it does not fall. When local churches turn away from the truth and compromise in their ministry, then the enemy makes progress. Sometimes church leaders must take a militant stand against sin and apostasy. This does not make them popular, but it does please the Lord. And again, the idea is, do we want to be popular among people or do we want to be pleasing to the Lord? Sometimes those two aren't the same, right? And we have to take a stand. Jesus, in John 17, said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. There's the key. What are you standing upon? What's the foundation? What's the support? It's the word of God. Does it make a difference? I guarantee you it does. I guarantee you 100% it does. There's a debate with Dennis Prager, a believer, an atheist, Oxford University professor Jonathan Glover said, it doesn't really matter whether a person has a belief system that is biblical or godly. The important thing is that they believe in something. That sounds good, right? Most people would say, well, what's wrong with that? As long as they believe in something, that's fine. Well, Prager replied like this, and it's very interesting. He said, imagine Professor Glover, that you're in downtown Los Angeles. It's 2:00 in the morning. Your car breaks down. You get out and you start to hear footsteps. You turn around to see 10 big young men walking toward you. 2:00 in the morning, Los Angeles. Would it make a difference if you knew they had just come from a Bible study? You see, there's the reality. Would it make a difference? It absolutely would. If it said Hell's Angels on the back of their jackets, I would be a little nervous. But if I saw John 3:16 and saw Bibles in their hand, hey, it's going to be okay. Why? Because God made a difference in their life. It's not just believe in anything. It's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does matter what we believe. But so many today, churches have moved away from them being the pillar and ground of the truth. And they add the philosophies of the world, the basic principles of the world. And what happens is lives fall apart because lies aren't going to do anything for you. They're only going to hurt you. Paul gave us a warning in Colossians 2, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Don't be cheated. You know, what was the psalm we read this morning? Psalm 11. If the foundations are destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? Yeah, take this away, and what do we have? Nothing. In fact, Paul in Colossians, the Greek word for philosophy comes from two Greek words, phileo, which means the love, and sophia, which means wisdom. And it's just the idea of the love of wisdom. Nothing wrong with godly wisdom, but that's not what Paul's warning them about. The wisdom that's in view here is the wisdom of man. And look at how that changes. I just saw a video, very short clip, of a Russian who had fled Russia years ago. And he was talking about changing a society. He says, it takes time. You only need 15 to 20 years to change that next generation. What just happened? Have you saw the protest by the kids supporting Hamas? That generation's been changed. And the only thing that's going to transform them is Jesus Christ. The schools have conformed them to the ways of the world. God can transform them. In fact, James tells us in James 3, this wisdom, earthly wisdom, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Yeah. What is godly wisdom? Well, he goes on to say in James 3, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, one is earthly and sensual. It's demonic. The other is pure and peaceable, gentle. And when people start moving away from the truths of God and start embracing false teachings, they isolate themselves from others because they are either told to leave or they really can't defend what they believe. They become self-seeking. It's about their doctrine. But Paul was telling Timothy, you got to take a stand here, because chapter 4 says some are going to depart from the faith. And here's the thing. You cannot find truth regarding life apart from Christ. Spiritual truth is not found anywhere else. I don't care how sincere you are. Paul in Colossians is talking about these false teachers. They're cheating you, kidnapping you, carrying you away like the spoils of battle. It's empty deceit. As Francis Schaeffer said, any philosophy that starts with man will never get you to God. Wow. He nailed it. Look at the philosophies of the world over the years and look at how they've changed, how they contradict each other. Do they sometimes get it right? Sure. But why grope for answers to life's problems, to life's questions, when God has the answer? Do I always like the answer? No, because it goes against my flesh. There's the battle. And my flesh wars. Well, I don't like that. What do you mean I'm supposed to like that person? What do you mean I'm going to forgive that person? That's what he means. As much as he forgave me, I'm going to forgive others. Yeah. And those are the things we have to apply to our lives. You know, when we're in Christ, we're complete. It doesn't say that you're moving towards completeness, does it? No, he says you're complete. That means, in Christ, what other wisdom do I need? I don't. I need the wisdom of God. That's it. And the church should provide this solid bedrock of our faith. We should be a place where people can go to get the truths of God found in the Word of God. And here's again, you know, I've talked about this in marriage. The same is true in the body of Christ. The closer we are to God, the closer we are to each other. How do I know that? Because look at a triangle, okay? God's at the top. We're at the corners. And the closer we get to God, what happens? Oh, the closer we get to each other. When there's quarrelings and fights and disputes and anger and resentment and backbiting and all the other garbage, guess what? Someone's moving away from God, and maybe both are. And that's why, and the only way to resolve that is to get right with God. It's as simple as that. Again, I've used this example before, but it's a powerful one from A.W. Tozer. He said, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscience and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Absolutely. That's the whole basis, is being tuned to Christ. Is when we're tuned to Christ, there is harmony within the body of Christ. When we're not tuned to Him and we're tuned to something else, there's disharmony. You know, way back in 1865, Charles Spurgeon began to publish a monthly magazine. It was called The Sword and the Trowel. And he took that from Nehemiah 4:17 and 18 on God's people rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in the midst of really intense opposition. And his goal for putting out this magazine was simple. And I'll share that with you in a minute. Let me share what the goals might be today. What might be a goal for a Christian magazine today? Well, to make a profit, right? That, why put the magazine out if we're not going to make money? Well, we don't want to offend anyone, so we're not going to cover those topics that are offensive. Well, we went around and asked people what they would like in a magazine, and after looking at all their responses, this is what we came up with. And we can go on and on with that. But this is what Charles Spurgeon said in regard to why he's publishing the magazine, The Sword and the Trowel. We shall supply interesting reading upon general topics, but our chief aim will be to arouse believers to action and to suggest to them plans by which the kingdom of Jesus may be extended. We would sound the trumpet and lead our comrades to the fight. We would ply the trowel with untiring hand for the building up of Jerusalem's dilapidated walls and wield the sword with vigor and valor against the enemies of the truth. Yeah, that's what it's about. Remember, we're to be proclaimers of the truth. We are to earnestly contend for the truth because the church is to be the pillar and foundation of the truth. And the last point we're going to look at is the body of Christ. And this is interesting how Paul kind of ties this all together here. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up in glory. Why does Paul start out with these words, and without controversy? Well, I think the idea is there shouldn't be any controversy about these facts. Have some come up? Yeah. But these are the truths of God found in the Word of God, what he's talking about here. Great is the mystery of godliness. Mega is the word for great in the Greek. And it's not the idea that it's so great we can't know it, but it's a revealed truth, revealed to us by God. Why is this so important? Because it concerns the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important. Spurgeon said, observe that the comprehensive summary of the gospel here is given contained in six little sentences, which run with such regularity of measure in the original Greek that some have supposed them to be an ancient hymn, and it is possible that they may have been used as such in the early church. Yeah. Now, what is this born out of? Verse 16 here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's born out of how you are to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or foundation of the truth. So what is this truth that God's people hold up? What is the pillar or proclaimer and foundation of the church? I think it's these six statements. God added to his deity humanity, the incarnation. God's manifested in the flesh. Jesus was justified by the Spirit. not meaning he was sinful, but that he was declared to be righteous in his baptism, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in his resurrection. Angels saw him. Could be his birth, but more than likely his resurrection. He was preached among the Gentiles and believed on in the world. Notice it doesn't say believed on by the world, but believed on in the world. The world hated him and put him to death. But there were those who did believe in him. And when it's all said and done, Jesus will have been believed on by those from every nation, tongue, and people. And he was received up in glory. What does that do? It gives us confidence that one day we too will be raised in glory as God is preparing us down here to fit in up there. One of my friends went home to be with the Lord on the 22nd of November. He had cancer. He had skin cancer for years that they were treating, and all of a sudden it was in his lungs, and he couldn't breathe. And he's like, please don't pray for my healing. He just wanted to go home. And he is. He's home. That's what it's all about. You know, it's interesting because the Bible never says that a Christian dies. They go to sleep. We go home to be with the Lord. It's just peaceful. There we go. One minute we're here. Next minute, we're with the Lord. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what God's doing right now. It's called the sanctification process. It takes a lifetime. But he's working the image from glory to glory. One day, when these bodies go back to the dust of the earth, we go be with the Lord, the work's done. And until that time, what do? Well, we have the gospel message, the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection to bring to people, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And what a great lesson for us to know the fundamentals of our faith, to get back to the basics of our faith. It has everything to do with us because we are the body of Christ. We are his hands to minister and touch people's lives with. We are his feet to travel the highways and byways, compelling men to come into the kingdom of God, bringing them the gospel. We're his lips to speak forth the gospel message. We're his ears to listen to the cry of people, to be sensitive to their hurt and minister to them the love of God. The mystery of godliness is that God is going to use man to do his work, to bring forth the gospel message to a lost and dying world. So 1 Timothy 3:16 speaks of what Christ has done, what we are to do, and then really our future restoration and glory with him. We have to remember that. We don't lose focus what the church is all about. There is an old church in England, very old church. A sign on the front of the building read, "We preach Christ crucified." It's great. Well, after time, ivy grew up and obscured the last word. The motto now read, "We preach Christ." Still okay. Well, finally, ivy covered the entire sign and the church died. You see, it kept getting less and less. One of them was, we just preach. What are you preaching? There's a lot of stuff out there, isn't there? That's what you hear in a lot of churches today. We just preach anything. No, we preach Christ crucified. Don't lose Jesus in the message, guys. And you need to cultivate that relationship with Jesus. Or like the ivy, it will cover your life and people won't be able to see Jesus. What did John say? He said, Lord, less of me, more of you. What was his point? His flesh was covering up Jesus so they couldn't see Jesus. And he wanted that flesh to melt away that when people looked at him, they would see the love of Christ in his life. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 22 through 24 put it like this. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Absolutely. That's the message we have. The good news. You know, I'll give you a picture that helped put this all together as I begin to close. Each week at the meetings of a local Rotary Club, a different member was asked to give a brief statement about his job. And when it was the turn for the Christian minister, he said this, I'm with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country in the world. We have our representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into motivation and behavior alteration. We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, universities, publishing houses, nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We're into life insurance, fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on Earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking. There's not enough money to buy it. Our CEO was born in Hicktown, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by enemies, walked on water, was condemned to death without a trial, and arose from the dead. I talk with him every day. You see, the church is the most amazing living organism in the world. Amen. We have family everywhere, everywhere in this world. You don't realize what's going on in Iran as people are coming to know the Lord. I'm hearing stories now out of Gaza where Palestinians are having visions of Jesus and getting saved. How do I know it's accurate or true? Time will tell. Are their lives truly changed? I think they are. How do you get the gospel message to these people? Sometimes God delivers it himself through angels, right? Through these visions. You know, we are to be about the Lord's business. And what does the devil love to do is get us focused back on ourselves. And what are we then going to give to people? You see, they need Jesus. You know, it's amazing that Jesus said that we will do greater works than him. That troubles a lot. How can we do greater works than Jesus if he's God? Not greater in ability, guys. Jesus raised people from the dead. Greater in scope. Why? What did I just say? There are believers in every portion of this world. Greater in scope. Jesus in the incarnation could only be at one place at one time. But now, indwelling believers throughout the world, he's at work. We're finishing the work of Christ here on earth. He's using us as his instruments to work through the church as the body of Christ. And it is so important because, like I said, what we're going to start next week is what Paul said starting in verse 4 of 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. When you move away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, you're moving towards heresy. What do we do? Well, when we get to 2 Timothy down the road, Paul gives us the answer in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And here's the key. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up from themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. It doesn't matter what people want to hear, you give them what God wants. And that's the Word of God. We have to be ready and stand strong in our faith because we are an example to the world of who Christ is and what he's done. They're looking at our lives and do they see a difference or are we just like the world? So the church is the house of God. The church is the pillar or proclaimer and foundation of the truth, and the church is the body of Christ. In these six short stanzas, this kind of hymn summarizes the gospel. God became man, died for our sins, triumphed over death, was honored by angels and feared by demons, ascended into heaven. And this message was preached all over the world, and many believed and were saved. And that's the heart of the message. It's our mission to proclaim to this world. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, oh, we thank you for these powerful words and these simplistic words, Lord. They're not very complicated, nor do they have to be. The gospel message, we're to be the pillar, the proclaimer, the foundation of the truth. May we do that. Not only here in this building, Lord, but also in our families, in our workplaces. Wherever we go, we are the proclaimer and foundation of the truth because we are following your word. Thank you, Lord. Use us in these days we're living in. As dark as it may be, Lord, you're greater than all that. Your spirit can transform anyone. And we pray, soften the hearts and give us the boldness to proclaim the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.